It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. Austin O'Neill, producer extraordinaire, helping us out here with the show. My partner, Kirk Elliott, sitting over there in the corner with his nose in the corner. I don't know what he's doing over there, but he's doing something. Not sure exactly what he's doing over there, but Kirk is always here to make sure that we never have a problem. And we always appreciate that about Kirk. Kirk, you always feel good when he's sitting right over there, don't you, Austin? When you know that if you have a problem, he can come right in there and help you troubleshoot anything, right?
No, you're exactly right. It's nice when you can have that your right-hand man, you know, what, 6 foot from you, and they're at your will. So
he's been my right-hand man for 22 years, man. That guy is just a blessing to me. I'm so lucky that I've had a chance to work with him all these years. All right, Austin, let's get right into it, man. So we heard a little bit of a rumor today, right? And we want to squash this rumor right now, folks. We were told that there was a possibility that they might run on Sunday up at US 36 Raceway in Osborne, Missouri, with the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars this weekend. That is not the case. That is not going to happen, folks.
Fake news.
It's fake news. That's what that is right there. I just talked to John Bowler just a few minutes ago before we went on the air, and he told me that they are a go for Friday night. This is how it goes down, folks. What the World of Outlaws does a lot of times with SLS, they go in and they'll rent a racetrack. And that's exactly what's going on this weekend. So the World of Outlaws has the final call if this is going to be continue on with their schedule as they planned on. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to run Friday night. What do you got to do if you go up there, Austin? What are you going to do if you go up there? Are you going to dress warm? No, you're going to stay in Jennington's trailer where the heater is, right?
Yeah, that's my plan.
But only walk out when you have to.
That's exactly right. But no, if I wasn't doing that, I'd be layered up and you know, trying to stay warm. I mean, it's going to be...
You'll probably be layered up anyway.
Oh, I'm not a cold person.
Me neither.
I
get cold so easy.
I went to the kart track here in Liberty about 2 weeks ago for a Sunday morning race. It started at 8 o'clock in the morning.
How cold was it?
Like 32 degrees. And I had long johns, jeans, a t-shirt, a long sleeve shirt, a hoodie, and two big coats on. And I was still cold, and I still got sick the next day. So, I am not a cold person whatsoever.
Oh, that's when you got sick and you couldn't make it in.
No, right? that was rough 2 days. Now, was it because of that event? Probably not. But
no, I know where you got that sickness from. You got it from our boy Todd.
Probably.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You know, me personally, if I'm the promoter and I'm leasing the racetrack to the World of Outlaws, I'm not worried about it.
No, I wouldn't
care. I just want enough fans to show up to buy enough concessions, because that's what happens.
Yeah, that's how you make your money.
The racetrack makes the money off the concessions. He leases the racetrack to the World of Outlaws. He gets his money there. It's a win-win for you if you have enough people to show up.
You know, especially if you're in a situation kind of like you know, he's in right now. The only thing that I think that might affect him is if the high wind alert is still in effect for tomorrow night.
Ugh.
I know when I was driving down I-35 this morning, it was blowing my little car around, and you know, I couldn't imagine what it would be like, you know, trying to race a sprint car in there. You see a lot of tracks here recently, you know, have to cancel events due to high wind advisories.
Yeah. So some of the races that have been canceled, the USAC race at Kokomo has been canceled due to weather, right?
Yep, the Kokomo Grand Prix with the midgets.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? That's, again, 30-degree temperatures. You can't run a race in 30-degree temperatures.
No. All that's doing is just helping the car count for tomorrow night with the Extreme Sprint Car Series. I did see, you know how we talked about Betty Kofoed and Keith Coons getting off the USAC National Sprint Car Tour?
Yep.
So they are going to go race the Extreme Series full time now.
Hold on. Say that one more time to me.
I believe what I read that, you know, since Buddy and Keith got off the USAC National Sprint Car Tour.
Right. They're not going to run full time with the non-wing sprint car.
No. I believe that I read it correctly, that they're going to go full time with the Extreme Sprint Car Series.
And again, that's only 10 or 15 races.
Right. But Buddy won't be in the seat this weekend. Jason McDougall will be. Buddy has other obligations he has to fulfill.
He might be down south.
I think he might be at Nashville. He was at Nashville last weekend with the Pro Late model. He might be down there again.
So he's going to get a little pavement experience this weekend.
I think so. Now,
is
I'm
that
not
at the fairgrounds?
Yes, that's where it was last week. So I'm assuming if he has obligations where he can't go race, you know, a sprint car, he might be down there.
Let's get into this just for a second. How good do you think Buddy will be on pavement? Do you think he's going to be the same caliber of driver as he is on dirt?
Well, when I watched him last year at the All-American 400,
yeah,
and he ran top five and was continuing for a top three the entire race, and he didn't have a whole lot of experience, you know, in a pavement car, and he was flat giving it to guys like Cole Williams and guys
real
who have
experienced guys,
you know, track champions down there that have are just extraordinarily talented. You know, that just kind of like, all right, we know Buddy has it. It's just a matter of getting Buddy seat time and the right opportunity to go out there and contend for a win.
Yeah. Well, I think he's going to be a superstar at the cup level someday.
We'll see what he does, you know, at the truck race at Bristol.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Buddy Kofoid is better than Christopher Bell? That's a tough question. Christopher Bell, pretty good.
That's a very tough question. I don't know. Because I didn't watch Christopher kind of go through what Buddy's going through right now, being young and kind of going through the ranks of Keith Coons into, you know, NASCAR. I didn't get to watch that, so I don't know how to answer that. You might be able to.
You can't give it an honest judgment, right? I'm gonna say, I don't know, man. It's hard for me to pick against Christopher Bell. I like the guy so much, you know. He's always been really good to the racing boys. He's always been willing to come on our show anytime that we've asked. It's just really hard for me to pick against Christopher Bell. But I think, if anything, they're a lateral. I think they're probably about the same on talent-wise.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
Yeah. Another race that got canceled this weekend is the 53rd annual Hillbilly 100 at Tyler County Raceway. This is the Lucas Oil Late Model Series, and they have canceled as well. Did you see what kind of money that race was paying?
$30,000 to win. And then they're going to have like a 14-race little mini-series. And I don't think any race pays lower than $30,000, and the most pays is a one-time race at Portsmouth that pays $100,000 to win. That's just that they're throwing around so much money with the late models right now.
I think it's a total of 700. I'm going to go to it right here real quick.
$718,000.
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what I mean.
Let's look at it. Do you think there's more money in late model racing than there is sprint car racing?
After seeing that 14 races, yes, because we don't have 14 crown jewel events that pay what those are paying. You know, you see there's multiple 30,000 to win events, there's multiple 50,000,
right,
there's 75,000, there's 100,000. I'm probably forgetting probably one or two, but you know, we have the Knoxville Nationals that pays, you know, 175. Eldora, the Kings Royal, pays 175 as well. Then you have a couple other that are like Devil's Bowl that pays 20,000. You have a couple 50,000. You don't have the consistency of almost, you know, $100,000 payouts, or, you know, races that pay that to win.
Right,
it's just,
right,
we don't, they've surpassed the sprint cars.
Yeah. Caleb just chimed in. He said the Sprint Invaders at 34 Raceway have been canceled, their season opener as well.
I know. I was planning, that was going to be my first race of the year.
Yeah.
I got to get an engine first.
You'll have it in time.
Yeah.
Listen,
I was really wanting to go to Burlington.
What is the most important thing to you, Austin? Are you going to run for the points?
No.
You're not going to run any points?
I'm like Wayne Johnson. No.
You're going to be a real outlaw this year.
You have to be. I can't afford fuel.
Yeah. How can you pull all over the country and pay? What was the fuel today? It's about
In Kearney, it was $3.59 for gasoline and $4.59 for diesel.
Yeah. It just annoys me, man. that diesel is more than gasoline. It's crazy. I just don't understand it. I never will. All right. So let's get into this story about Haley Deegan just a little bit, yeah. Right? I want to talk about it because she skipped a race over death threats against her boyfriend from a stalker. Have you ever... now, I know you haven't watched this show, but Deidre and I watch it a lot.
I've seen clips of it. I know what you're
Catfish,
talking
about. Catfish, yeah, right?
I've seen clips of it.
There's these trolls out there that want to pretend they're other people. You know, they send them a pretty picture of a woman, and hell, they might be a man. You never know.
No,
right?
Not anymore.
Well, it's just crazy the way that these people catfish other people and try to make them think that they're, you know, from what I understand from that video, when I watched that video this morning, I watched it in its entirety. There's somebody out there that's portraying themselves as Haley Deegan.
Right.
And saying that her boyfriend Chase is beating her up, broke her jaw, is real mean to her.
Violence.
And so this catfish person has sent voice messages and messages to Haley saying that he's going to kill her boyfriend Chase.
Well, hold on. You confused yourself right there.
I did? What did
yeah.
I say?
Well, you said the catfish person.
The catfish
person. The fake account.
The fake account
sent
person.
Sent that to Chase. And
oh,
Haley,
oh, he sent it to Chase.
It sent that a fake account, sent it to the individual that is making death threats to Chase and Haley.
But did you hear the voice message where the guy, did you watch that
yes.
video in its entirety?
I did.
Did you hear where he's saying that he was going to, he's going to take care of him, and the last person you're going to see is me. That's what he says in that video.
Right, that was...
Listen, let me tell you something right now, folks. And I know her dad has reached out to this guy, right? But let me tell you something. If somebody threatened my daughter, like that guy's threatening my daughter and to be honest with you, my future son-in-law, I think it would be a really ugly picture because this guy supposedly is right down the road from him, a couple miles from him.
Right. And he did make a threat. You know, Millbridge races on Wednesday nights. They just raced last
night.
He said,
I'll see you at Millbridge.
Yeah, he's threatened to go to Millbridge and wipe out Chase.
They had security there.
Yes.
Protecting them.
Yeah. I mean, it's taken itself to a whole nother level. You just can't make those threats and, I mean, not that it's being looked down on, but you just can't make those threats and not take, you know, serious action to it.
Well, let me tell you something. If I knew where that guy lived and my daughter was involved in it, I'd go over there and I'd stomp a mud hole in his ass. That's what I'd do. I would give it to him like he'd never had it before. And listen, that's just how I am about protecting my family, right? That's just, I'm kind of a roughneck.
Right.
If you want to know the truth.
Well, we encourage people to go watch the video with Chase and Haley speaking on this to hear it all in its entirety. Well,
this is it up here on the TV right here.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're just you know, summing it up. But, I mean, there's so much detail in there and more to the story. And it's just, it's crazy to wrap your head around.
You know, I'm not sure Haley's going to make it at the NASCAR level, to be honest with you.
No.
She's a nice person. I'm not taking anything away from her, but I'm not sure she's going to make it that level. I'd like to see her go back to open wheel racing. That's what I'd like.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, you come in the truck series last year, and yes, you have a lot of like ARCA and Kanan experience, and you know you get good success there. But the competition level wasn't as great as it is in the truck series. And
she made too many mistakes.
She does, and you know you think maybe last year, all right, we'll give you a 1 year deal just to kind of get laps under your belt, just get comfortable with it. And that when you come at your second year, you better be on your A game. And she really hasn't.
She's lucky she's got another chance.
She's well, come on, she'll always get a chance. But
what is that because she's a female?
Yeah.
You think females get more of an opportunity than males do?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they're easier to get marketing money.
All we
for
have
it.
To do is look at our friend Jennifer Jo Cobb, right?
Oh, yes.
Listen,
sure.
You can say what you want about Jennifer Jo Cobb. She's not the best racer down there.
But she's made a living
she
at it.
She has made a living at when I started in, when I bought my first ARCA car, she'd been racing heavy cars for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
She was really my motivation because, to be honest with you, I used to outrun her weekly at Lakeside all the time. So when I saw that she was running good, I thought, I'm going to do this, right?
Yeah.
But Jennifer, I got to give her credit. She's cut back. She's not full-time now. But she has made a living at doing what she's wanted to do her entire life. She's done it for the last 20 years.
Right.
You can't take a damn thing away from Jennifer Jo Cobb.
Not at all.
No.
I mean, it's not easy to do that. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of guys that can go out there and, you know, be like a starting part team and still carry out their dream of, you know, being an NASCAR driver not and race for a living.
But, you know, the start and park thing is not really a thing anymore.
No.
Because NASCAR frowns on that.
They bought that charter system.
Right.
And that's kind of jacked up the whole deal because now you have to spend outrageous money to get a charter to guarantee you a spot on the grid. Now, will we see a field that has to, you know, knock cars out and send cars home? No.
You know how much those charters are going for now?
They're a couple million, aren't they?
No. No.
How much?
You're way short. $10 to $15 million.
That's a couple million, so that's close enough.
Right, right.
I mean,
I'm just the only reason I know that is I have friends that own charters that have sold charters down there.
Yeah,
my friends over at Spire Sports and Entertainment, and I just get a little insight, and I know that that's the kind of money those guys bring.
That's just ridiculous.
Crazy, isn't it?
Look at where all that other money can go into right now.
Yeah.
I mean, your development of your next gen cars, you're just, I don't know.
Tommy Hahn, he just chimed in. He said, Wayne will run the tour. We're hearing, you know, Wayne was pretty committed when he said he was going to run an outlaw schedule, and he was going to run about 50 World of Outlaw shows, didn't he? Isn't that what he said on the show?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, it was close, about 50 or so.
But I'm hearing that his car owner wouldn't mind him running full-time with Luxor ASCS National Sprint Car Tour.
Well, I mean, he fired off at the start of the season really good with him, so it wouldn't make sense not to follow it, right?
You're leading the points.
You've won a race.
You've won a race. You haven't won a race in 2 years.
Yeah.
There's a good chance. Listen, Wayne is the kind of driver that could contend for the championship with the Luxor ASCS National Tour.
Well, I mean, you look at it. He's been off the tour for years, and then came back. And in
won a race his first time back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not his first time back, because he's ran with him a few times.
First time in a long time.
Yeah. So I'm like Tommy. I think that Wayne's going to end up running full-time with the National Tour, and I think he's going to do it because he knows he's got a really good shot at winning that $50,000.
Money talks. I mean.
But I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be easy.
No.
You got guys like Blake Hahn. You got to beat week in, week out. Dylan Westbrook, Matt Covington.
Seth Bergman.
I don't know if Seth's going to make it through the year.
Oh, I don't know.
Man, he better get his motor program together.
That, and he better hope the support from Bryant Paver can continue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's going to really kind of save him.
They've got money, though, right?
Paver?
Yeah.
Tons of it.
Tons.
Tons.
You know, if I have tons of money, why would I care? Just keep throwing money at it. You know, the one good thing about it is how much he helps Garrett, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's how he got in the loop.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Seth Bergman could teach a young driver like Garrett Williamson a lot.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I would love to have, you know, Seth as a crew chief. Or anybody that's been out on the tour for that long.
Like a Johnny Herrera.
Yeah.
Could you imagine having Johnny Herrera as your crew chief? Oh, my.
That could be interesting.
Or a Jimmy Jones.
Yeah, anybody like that.
Yeah. That's what we need to get you as a good crew chief.
Yeah. I mean, it showed last year when I had somebody.
But there's no budget for that.
No, there's not a budget. I put an order in for tires last night, and I'm just terrified to look at my bank account balance.
You've been squirming all day ever since you spent all that money last night.
I spent a lot of money. I bought t-shirts last night. I bought tires, and I just don't want to look at it.
You just don't want to look at your bank account balance?
No, I don't.
No.
I wish it was somebody else's bank account, but it's mine.
Did I mention Kokomo got canceled?
It did.
Okay. I didn't know if I did or not. Well, all I can tell you is that you better dress in layers. You better bring your heaviest coat up to US 36 on Friday night. You know, it looks pretty good for Saturday, though. About 60-some degrees, I think, it's going to be down there.
Yeah, it should be a good weekend down at the lake.
Yeah, I think so. All right, well, we're going to take a break. We've got a really good show lined up for you. Chase Rodman is going to join us. He's the pit reporter for the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars. Let me tell you something about Chase. He might be the best pit reporter that we have in sprint car racing. Do you think that, Austin?
I agree with you.
I mean,
I enjoy watching
him. I'm not taking
him.
Anything away from my brother, Scotty Cook.
No.
I love Scotty. But hold on a second. Connor Wade has got to be right there with Chase Rodman.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Connor went the fender route.
I know it, but you know what? He's good at what he does.
Right.
You know what the difference? God, I hate to say this about Scotty. You know the difference between Chase Rodman and Connor Wade and Scotty Cook?
What's that?
Scotty Cook wings it. He gets in there and he just wings it, right? The one thing that I like about Chase Rodman and Connor Wade is they're very studious. They constantly work at their craft, and they do a lot of homework before they start talking on the air. And that's what I like about them the most.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes...
You're not going to get Scotty Cook to go read on a computer for 2 or 3 hours and write down any notes before he goes on air.
No, not at all.
I'm not taking a damn thing away from Scotty. I love him to death. He's my brother, but just like that guy is over there. But I'm just not going to take... You know, that's the one great thing about Chase and the thing about Connor Wade that I love the most. They're very studious. So, and that's what I like about him. All right, well, when we come back, Chase Rodman's going to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. When we come back, more in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery, we do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, again live from the Racing Boys studio here in Kansas City, Missouri. And we've got a big weekend of racing just up the road from Kansas City in Osborne, Missouri. The World of Outlaws are going to be racing Friday night at Osborne, and then on Saturday night down at Lake Ozark Speedway. And we thought we'd ask Chase Rodman to join us on the show. Chase, how you doing?
Doing good here on my way to the airport, wearing some shorts and a t-shirt, but my suitcase is packed with some warmer clothes. I am not a big fan of the forecast I'm seeing over there, but ready to get over to US 36. We rained out there last year, unfortunately, but excited to get there. And then obviously Lake Ozark, that place is always fun. Excited for the weekend here.
Yeah, you better bring your warm gear because they're talking about a high of about 47 tomorrow, and we've been telling everybody on the show that's going to go up there and watch that race, you better bring your heavy gear with you because it's going to be chilly up there. But we want everybody to show up, and we want a big crowd to show up there. Have you ever been to US 36 Raceway?
Last year I rolled onto the property the director and then Jack, they set up all the equipment the day before the race last year, and then I flew in, and then it got rained out. We drove over there, grabbed the Dirt Vision trailer, and headed off to Lake Ozark. So I got to see a little sneak peek of the track, but I've never been able to see a race there. So I've seen the videos from past races, and it definitely puts on a good show. And I got a buddy that lives there close to US 36, and he was saying that sounds like it's supposed to snow or something there tonight. So, I'm not sure how true that is, but it's pretty bad.
It's really cold and windy here today. I mean, there's probably 30 mile an hour winds here today. So, and it's opening day for the Kansas City Royals today in Kansas City. So that's not going to be much fun for the fans that are going to the Kauffman Stadium to watch the Royals play today. So it's going to be a little rough. You mentioned Dirt Vision. I've said it many, many, many times. I think Dirt Vision does as good a job as anybody in the industry when it comes to their broadcast. And you're so fortunate to be a part of that broadcast. You got to feel blessed in your position that you have right now.
Yeah, man. It's still hard to believe that that I'm, a part of Dirt Vision and, mostly a part of the Outlaws, because I've been watching the Outlaws for as long as I can remember. I used to drive around town with all my buddies, and we'd have, before they even had all the every race live, man, we were listening to Dirt Vision audio every night, and it was always a game to see who could guess who the next guy in the starting lineup was when Johnny was reading their sponsors or their hometown. He'd say, from Hanover, PA, and then one of our guys like, that's Logan Shuhart or something, So we always listen to Dirt Vision audio. And it's just, you know, it's awesome to work with the Outlaws, awesome work with Dirt Visions. It's just crazy to me to be able to work side by side with Johnny Gibson every weekend. Obviously, National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, you know, just inducted there recently. It's crazy to me to think that I am working with them every week. And every weekend, man, I just, it's hard to believe I'm doing this, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of.
He's really the best at what he does. You know, I say that him and Brian Hobart are the two best in sprint car racing. Johnny and you seem to have a really good chemistry with each other. When I watch it, it's natural, the interaction between the two of you.
Yeah, that's what, you know, a lot of people say that too, and that's good to hear. When you're, I feel like when you're in the moment, when you're doing it every weekend, I mean, I feel like we do have a good chemistry going back and forth. But at this point, it's just like, you know, that's just my job. It's just, I do that every weekend. And when I hear people say that, it makes me feel really good to hear that, you know, they enjoy, you know, Johnny and I talking back and forth with each other. You know, he's taught me a lot the last, you know, year and a half, about broadcasting, you know, about, you know, the history of sprint car racing. And, you know, obviously I pay attention. I know what's going on in the world of sprint car racing, but he's been doing it for so long. He reminds me of things that are, you know, he tells me things that a certain track that we go to that, you know, hey man, you know, back in, you know, 98, I saw, you know, Jeff Shepard did this and that. And I'm just like, man, that is awesome. You know, so we, you know, we stick, you know, share stories and, you know, we have a pretty good relationship. He just recently last year got a cat in his motorhome, his pet with his girlfriend, Melody. And, you know, I've got three cats in my house. So we kind of bond over cats.
Right.
Kind of might be a little bit of a weird thing, but, you know, we, seem to have a lot in common. And I feel like that helps with, you know, that relationship and, you know, being able to work well together.
Yeah. We don't want to downplay this weekend. It's a great weekend for both racetracks because the Extreme Outlaw Series is going to be running as well. And I'm hearing that Brady Bacon is going to be double dipping at both racetracks this weekend.
Yeah, that's I read that as well on Twitter. That's awesome, man. I wish Brady would do more of the wing stuff because, you know, before Tyler Courtney, you know, kind of made the jump to the wing stuff, I feel like Brady was the guy that was the best at doing both. And I feel like if he did it more, he would be, you know, as good or maybe better than Tyler. You know, mm-hmm. I think Brady is very underrated when it comes to the wing stuff. He's done some impressive stuff at places like Knoxville and places like Eldora, places like Hopstock. It's just he doesn't do it very often. And I think that, you know, if he really, really wanted to, he could run the All-Stars full-time, or, you know, I think he did ASCS a couple of years ago full-time.
He did.
You know, I think if he really, you know, put everything together and did the All-Star Tour, I think he would be a serious threat. But right now, with where he's at, man, doing USAC and, you know, now the Extreme Series, I feel like he can just make a pretty good living, you know, with how good he is, you know, without the wings on. So,
you know,
maybe someday we'll see him put the wings on.
You know, I compare Brady Bacon, and he did. He traveled with the Luxor ASCS National Tour for several years when I was out there on the tour with him. At the start of when I started in 2009 with the National Tour, I just quit this year, obviously. But 13 years out there, I think he was with us maybe the first 4 or 5 years that we ran the Luxor ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. But I've always said this about Brady Bacon. Brady Bacon reminds me more of Jesse Hockett than any other driver that I know of because he can drive a midget, a micro, a 410 wing sprint car, a 360 wing sprint car, and he can run, obviously, he's one of the best at driving a non-wing sprint car as well. He is one of the most well-rounded drivers that I've ever seen.
He really is, man. He's had success in all those things you just mentioned. I mean, he's even done it at open wheel stuff on pavement too.
He's
had success there at, you know, IRP and Winchester and things like that, and the Silver Crown car. So he is definitely, I feel like, underrated when it comes to anything besides a non-wing car. You know, I just feel like people kind of write him off and think mm-hmm. that he's a non-wing guy only. But like you said, man, he's won in 410, 360 wings. He's done it in midgets. And like I was talking about, a little bit of pavement stuff there. So excited to see Brady do it this weekend. He he's done double duty several times, so I don't think that's really going to affect him as far as, you know, getting too busy or getting tired or something like that. So Brady this weekend, obviously going to be a threat for sure when it comes to the non-wing, the Extreme Outlaw Series. And then with the wings on, I feel like he could definitely contend with a top 10 finish, for sure, especially at Lake Ozark, a place he's got quite a few laps. I'm not sure how much success or how much, you know, experience he's got at US 36, but I know he's got quite a bit at the lake.
Yeah. I want you, if you have a chance to interview Brady this weekend, I want you to ask him about the time that Jesse Hockett asked him to eat a June bug, and he said if he'd eat the June bug, Brady owed Jesse a little bit of money, like $75 for some parts that he bought from him. And Jesse said, if you'll eat a June bug, I'll give you those parts for free. Brady Bacon picked up a June bug and chomped it right down.
Wow. Yeah, I might have to ask you about that. That's an interesting story that I haven't heard before, but I can definitely see Brady doing that. You know, I've gotten to know him pretty well over the last year, two, maybe 3 years, and he's a goofball, man. He's really fun to hang out with, especially at the Chili Bowl. So, yeah, I'll definitely ask him about that this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, well, let's get into the world of Outlaws, and let's talk about Brad Sweet. He's got a 32-point lead over Carson Macedo and a 44-point lead over David Gravel. Can Brad do it again this year?
Well, right now, I would say all signs are pointing towards yes, especially this weekend, I feel like he's going to extend that point lead, honestly. I mean, these types of racetracks, these 3/8s, these quarter-mile tracks, I feel like he's had the best average finish of anybody over the last, you know, three seasons or so.
Yeah.
And he's pretty hot right now, man. And he won at Votto. And then at Devil's Bowl, obviously, the racetrack wasn't quite, you know, where you needed to be able to make a lot of passes. So I think he's finished like 8th or something. But these tracks this weekend, obviously, he almost won the last time we were at Lake or at the US 36. So Schadenfield got by him there. But yeah, Brad this year, man, I think he does go for the four-peat. But I will say that it seems like those guys, you know, him and Eric Prutzman and Andrew Bowman, Joe Moody, the whole crew, I feel like they're not quite where they want to be right now. And Brad has mentioned that a couple times in his interviews. Even when he won at Votto, you can just kind of tell that he wasn't as confident in his car as we've seen in the last, you know, 2 years or so. Mm-hmm. I still think they're missing something to where they want to be at and be, you know, contending for the win every night. And it seems like every night right now they're in the top five, but which is kind of a bad look for the rest of the guys on the tour, because if Brad says his car is not where it needs to be and he's still winning and he's still running on the podium every night, they might be in trouble for the rest of the season.
Yeah, you know, it was amazing that he picked up that first win of Votto, but that was his first win since Skagit, what was it, Labor Day last year? It was unbelievable that it took him that long to get a win.
Yeah, and I asked him about that at Votto and Victory Lane, and he was just saying that, you know, after Skagit, he was just kind of in points mode. You know, he wasn't trying to, mess anything up, didn't want to wreck, didn't want to cost himself any extra points. So it seemed like he was kind of maybe playing it safe last year after that last win at Skagit, which I understand. And, but that was when Johnny had mentioned that, you know, he said, oh, yeah, Brad hasn't won since Labor Day last year. And that didn't really, make a big deal to me. That didn't seem like a big deal to me. But I was like, man, that was a Skagit. That is a long time ago,
right,
for Brad to not win. And I was looking over his last three championship seasons, and I want to say the longest he had gone without a win in any of those championship seasons was 10 races.
Wow.
And I want to say when he won at Votto, that was the 11th race. So that was actually the longest he'd gone in a season without a win in any of his championship seasons. So it was definitely a long time.
Yeah. All you have to do is look at his stats to tell you how good he is. Out of the 12 races this year, he's had 9 top fives and 11 top tens out of 12 races. That tells you everything, because if you look at the other drivers, nobody even comes close to that number, with the exception of David Gravel, who has 8 top fives.
Yeah, and I want to say Gravel, I feel like he could still have that streak going, because he was, Brad, I think the first race, Brad was like 13th or something at Volusia. But David was the only guy to have a top 10 in every race, I want to say up to Cotton Bowl. And then when we went to California, you know, Merced, I can't remember what happened to him, but something broke or he got hit by a lap car or something, and he crashed out and had to go to the work area, came back out, did not finish top 10. And then the next night, or the next race or whatever, at Tulare, he had another, like, mechanical problem or something, running in the top five on one of the nights, and, you know, took – maybe that was actually at Bakersfield. Actually, that was at Bakersfield when Sheldon, you know, spun out, and David was coming around to lap him, and David ran into his spun-out car. I want to say if Gravel did not get in those two incidents, he would be right there with Brad. Like, I'm talking within 10 points. So Gravel had a couple of, you know, bad races there. But I want to say that, you know, right now the two car is the best car on the tour. He just hasn't had any luck the last few weeks to show that.
Yeah. You know, I look at Carson Macedo and the JJR team, and you've always got to take him seriously because he's always in the mix of things right at the end of the race, it seems like to me.
Yeah, he really is. Obviously, second in points right now. That looks good for the 41 car, and now heading into a big race this weekend, the Jason Johnson Classic at Lake Ozark, definitely going to be one that he wants to try and win. But Carson, and you know, he was talking to me, like, so last weekend, actually, at Devil's Bowl, Carson, you know, had to stay in mine and my, you know, roommate on the road, Anthony Carini. He had to stay in our hotel room, which he does a few times a year to get a ride to the airport, you know, on Sunday mornings. And we were just kind of talking in the hotel room, and he's just, man, you know, after leaving the KLR 2 car, you know, my qualifying has been so much better, and that's, you know, kind of what has paid dividends for him. He's not having to pass 10 or 12 cars a night. He's always in the dash. He's always starting up front, and that's kind of what's been, you know, leading him to being inside the top three in points the last, you know, two or three years here. So, you know, Carson is always good when it comes to race time. It's just, it seems like his first couple of years on the Outlaw Tour, it was qualifying that was killing him. And now, you know, Philip Dietz and, you know, Mike Bibb and Nate Reppitz, all those guys have really got him a good qualifying car. And that's what's, you know, paying dividends right now for him.
Do you notice any difference now that Bobby's kind of, I don't want to say she's out of the picture, right? But now that Philip Dietz is kind of the owner of that race team, do you see any difference in that team?
I really don't. I feel like it's kind of, you know, it's still business as usual. I don't really think Bobby was too hands-on with the team.
Yep.
As far as, you know, what goes on in the trailer, what goes on in the shop. He was kind of mostly, you know, merchandise, you know, T-shirt, trailer, sales, that kind of thing.
Right.
Maybe the social media aspect of all that. You know, and once they, you know, once Philip kind of took over the team, you know, I haven't really seen that much of a difference. Maybe stuff behind the scenes that I don't see is different, but as far as them at the racetrack, it seems like things are, you know, the same as normal.
Yeah. Before we let you go, I got to ask you, you used to race, didn't you? Did you run micros at one time?
No, I actually raced outlaw carts.
Oh.
Out here in Northern California. So, you know, 500cc, two-stroke dirt bike engines on the side of a go-kart, basically. That's what I raced. That's kind of what, you know, Larson and Rico and all them guys came out of. So I wasn't very good, and so I decided to pick up a microphone, and I seem to be a little bit better at that.
You know, give yourself a little more credit, man. Those things are not easy to drive. Those things are pretty vicious. We did a live broadcast with the Outlaw Carts one time down in Oklahoma, and it was amazing to watch those guys run those cars around there. They're so powerful. It's the power to weight ratio on those things is crazy.
Yeah, they weigh, you know, about 350 pounds, and, you know, some of these engines they're putting out right now have close to 100 horsepower. So they are a handful. You know, I work at, you know, when I'm not doing the Outlaw stuff, I work at QRC Carts, which is the biggest manufacturer of those types of cars. And a couple of years ago, we built one for Ryan Dungey, who, I don't know if he races the Supercross stuff anymore, four-stroke on the side of it. And we sent it to him, whatever. He drove it one time and said, this is absolutely out of control, and I don't think he's drove it since.
Oh,
so,
wow.
They are definitely a handful, that's for sure.
Chase, I want to give you a little compliment here at the end of this this interview. I just got to tell you, we were talking about it a little bit before you came on the air with us. There's a couple of pit reporters. Listen, I don't mean any disrespect to my buddy that traveled up and down the road with me for 11 years. He wasn't real studious. Scotty Cook wasn't. He's just kind of a wing it guy. But yourself and Connor Wade are really studious at what you do, and you can tell that you're really prepared when you do the broadcast. How much time do you spend on preparation for these broadcasts?
Well, usually, Sunday I fly home after a race weekend. You know, Monday I kind of, I go to work and kind of, gather my thoughts and, just kind of hang out a little bit. And then Tuesday I'll usually message Johnny and, get the history of the next track we're going to. And, then I'll sit down and type up my notes for every guy that's going to be there that week. And Johnny usually sends me his list that he thinks he's going to be there. And I'll probably spend, for each track, I'll probably spend 3 or 4 hours making sure I've got every start from every guy, whether that's with the Outlaws, whether that's ASCS, or whether that's, at some time, the Rocky Mountain Midget Series or some random series that some guy might have ran 38 years ago. I want to make sure I have everything on there, even if it's from 1998, man. And if the guy won the race there, I still like to mention that,
right.
Like we see that with Jason Sides all the time when we go to places in the South. Like, Sides used to run ASCS back in the day, and if you want to race back in 01, I'm going to mention that if we're at that track, I'd say about 3 to 4 hours per track that we go to. I write down a lot of notes and get all the history for each track, so yeah.
Well, it shows up in your work, I'm going to say that. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Johnny has said that US 36 Raceway is one of his favorite tracks. Have you heard that before?
I think I have heard that. I cannot remember what Johnny's favorite track is. Oh, his favorite track is River City. It's up there in North Dakota. And that's pretty similar, right? I mean, they both turn 9-second lap times.
Right.
And that seems to be Johnny's favorite ones, the ones that are, sub 10-second laps, like I-55 and things like that, which we go to next week. But, yeah, Johnny, I wouldn't be surprised. I'll have to ask him this weekend if US 36 is up there on his list, because he keeps a pretty – descriptive list of his favorite tracks. He's got them all ordered, in order, 1 through 10 or whatever it is. So I'll have to ask him this weekend, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot like Eagle. If you've ever been to Eagle Raceway, when you roll into US 36, you're going to look at Eagle Raceway. That's what it's like. So,
man, I wish I can get to Eagle one day. I remember the one race that sticks out to me was that night that Larson got in the Stenhouse car, the 17, when, before Sheldon was in, I think Saldana was running it, and they pulled out a second car, and Larson showed up, had no laps in that car, and won, and it was an absolutely insane race. And that, ever since I watched that race, man, I want to get to Eagle someday.
Yeah. Well, Chase, I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you don't mind if we call on you down the road again and have you on the show, man. You're so studious, and we love your work that you do with the World of Outlaws and what you do on Dirt Vision with Johnny Gibson. We hope that we can have you on again in the future.
Yeah, hey, anytime, just shoot me a text or whatever it is, and yeah, I'll be on here again, I'm sure, man. I'd love to be back. So thanks for having me, and I'm going to keep trucking to the airport here.
All right, buddy. Have a safe trip. We'll see you up at US 36.
All right, thanks, Scott.
All right, there you have it. There you have Chase Rodman, World of Outlaws pit reporter. Does a great job, man. He's really good at what he does, isn't he, Austin? I mean, he is just about as good as they get.
He is, and I like his kind of work ethic. He's really studious about it, and he cares about it, so he wants to put the effort into it, and it really shows in his work, and he's probably why he's one of my favorite pit reporters.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the voice of MLRA. Billy Rock joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine.
friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live again from the Racing Boys studio, and I just want to give a shout out to our regular listeners. Marie, she's in there. We can always count on Marie. She is about as diehard a listener as we have. And I can't thank you enough for tuning in every day on the show. Frog Hall, he's always tuning in to the show. Marvin's always tuning in. Marvin is from Miamisburg, Ohio. So we always say hi to our friends in Ohio. We appreciate you guys being on the show. Let's welcome into the show right now the voice of MLRA, Billy Rock. Billy, how you doing, bud?
Doing good, Scott. I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed, though. I really figured our retired and active series photographer, Lloyd Collins, would be listening in every day on Mostly Motorsports as well.
For the most part, he does listen in here. And, you know, the problem with Lloyd is he's always trying to rattle my cage.
Yeah, I heard him and Kurt got some new podcast coming up. You guys were talking about last week in a political podcast. We'll leave that for a whole other subject. Maybe Friday open phone line show.
The one thing that we don't talk about on this show is politics and religion. Those are the two things that we don't talk about, right? Because it takes you down the wrong path. And I'm going to tell you, if Lloyd and Kirk do a political show, it won't be in this studio. They'll have to build their own studio because we're not talking politics here at Racing Boys. You know, that's just...
I got you. We're down to business.
We're all about business around here, right? So, 81 Speedway this weekend, let's talk about that. You know, we've been watching a lot of the racing there, and it used to be... Whenever I'd watch a race there, you always had to worry about rubber down, right? It happened a lot before they put the wall up. But it seems like since they put the wall up all the way around that place, that the racing surface, and I think it's partly because of Johnny Allen, I think the racing surface has been as good as it's ever been.
Yeah, you know, this is obviously our first time for myself going down there. 2003 was the last time the MLRA series was down there, so it's exciting to get the series back in there. And, you know, in speaking to Johnny this weekend, obviously there's been a lot of investments poured into that facility since they took over, I believe, back in 2019. And whether that's track prep equipment that's helping exactly with what you're talking about and putting the wall, I mean, I think you've got a committed group down there that's there to make it better. And obviously they want to have open super late models down there, not just once a year. So
yeah.
I'm excited with what they're doing, and I'm really optimistic with what we're going to see this weekend.
You know, it seems like the MLRA brand, and Kirk and I have been around since back in the Cowboy and Harriet days. You know, we knew those guys for a long, long time. In fact, I'll tell you a little story. Cowboy used to race at I-70 Speedway back in 1970, and my dad was his sponsor of his race car back in 1970. So I've known those people for a long time. But it seems like now that MLR has got a little more traction, and it's moving upward. Would you agree with that?
You know, I think you're on to something there, Scott. I mean, to be sitting here right now, knowing that, you know, looking at 81's website and talking to some of those folks this week, right now they're projecting 32 guys already telling us that they're going to be there.
Wow.
And that's a phenomenal number for me to be sitting and looking at Wichita, Kansas. Plus, you know, there's going to be more guys show up that aren't even on the radar. So to me, that says a lot about the race and a lot about the series.
Yeah.
Especially with a lot of guys, you know, if you want to run for points, you've obviously got to make this one long haul. And one of the downfalls in the last few years, though, has been that we've always had to go to the Salina High Banks. Mm-hmm. It's a great facility. Love going down there.
Yep.
That's not on the schedule this year. So I think that being off the schedule, really, for a lot of the northern guys, has kind of opened some things up and said, hey, you know, we can make this haul down here. If we can make this one haul to Wichita, the rest of the season is really not that bad as far as travel. And travel is a huge part of this anymore, and
right.
Trying to get these guys roped in. And I think your other big thing, Scott, was starting out a season, everybody wants to get up in the MLRA points because they want that chance mm-hmm. at that provisional if they need it to get into that Show Me 100 coming up at the end of May.
I think this is going to be the most critical year for people that are going to tow, or if they're going to choose to stay home and race around their local area because of the price of fuel. I mean, we've got to be really concerned about that. And not only that, we got to worry about some tires this year, too.
We sure do. And, you know, you talk about the fuel, and that's one of the things that I think we're seeing a lot of excitement with the MLRA series. You know, it's not just this year, but the Winter Circle program that rewards the drivers that come up and down the road with the MLRA series with fuel money at every venue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we've got 10 guys potentially this weekend that are going to pick up a check, an extra bonus check to help cover that gas. And then that's going to carry over to next weekend. As long as you keep top 10 in points and keep that perfect attendance going, that's not something that a lot of late model series outside of, you know, on a regional side do. So I think that's one thing that is attractive to some of the drivers.
Yeah.
You know, there's some other things the series has done this year to try and take care of some guys and entice them to come. And I think that's a big deal. And, you know, you talk about tires. I mean, it's on everybody's mind right now. And I know seeing the message that went out to the drivers earlier this week, each driver this weekend will be allowed to purchase two tires each night, and that's it. And that's basically as long as they last. So, you know, if you end up with 40 or 45 cars, they may not last as long. But
right.
Anything that's in our trailer that we've got from Hoosier to distribute, we have been strictly told that we are allowed to do no more than two. So this is sitting here in April. You know, you guys have talked about it. Where are we going to be in June and July? It's
yeah.
hard to say right now.
Yeah, no doubt. That's when we have to worry about it the most, is when we get to the heat of the summer and when tires start getting burned up. We got to worry about that. I hope that we have plenty of tires when it comes to July 14th, when you guys race out at I-70 Speedway. This is your first time to race out there. You didn't race there last year, did you?
No, this will be, I believe, the first late model race. I believe last year was basically open wheel series and things like that. So, yeah, bring in the Lucas Dirt Series along with the Lucas Oil MLRA to the I-70 show. That's going to be a first time for those guys since the changes at the Speedway.
Am I wrong, Billy? Is the lowest amount that you guys pay to win $5,000 now?
It was $5,000, Scott, and we've got one show this year that I believe we'll pay $3,000. Everything else is a 5 and a 7 weekend. We had one show that canceled earlier on this off season, and we've got another venue to jump on. They actually said, hey, let's just do both nights, and that's up at Norfolk, Nebraska. So I believe that is a 3 and a 7 weekend up there. But still, yeah, one show that pays less than $5,000. Everything else is 5 and 7, and I think we've probably got, if you want to count the Lucas co-sanctioned shows in there, I think there's probably upwards of 10 plus that are at least 10,000 to win, if not more.
Is that Deer Creek race where it pays 50,000 to win, is that a co-sanctioned event?
Yes, the Deer Creek was originally scheduled to be co-sanctioned last year, and unfortunately Mother Nature had other things to say about that. So that race, along with the Show Me, the Diamond Nationals, as well as the I-70 event, all co-sanctioned races with the MLRA series. And I think that's something that, honestly, you know, a lot of guys might look at that from an MLRA standpoint as, man, what am I doing going to this national show? But really, when you talk to a lot of the guys, I think they like the challenge of being able to be on that national platform running with the big guys. You've seen Peyton Looney 2 years ago, right? You know, was able to knock it off. So, you know, you hit the right setup in the right night. The guys that run with us on a weekly basis and for the season championship, they can contend with these guys. And I think they appreciate that opportunity to contend on a national stage.
Gosh, I don't mean this in any disrespect, but you're kind of like the little brother to the Lucas Oil Late Model Series. There's got to be some huge benefits because you have that relationship through Lucas Oil, MLRA, and the big series, the Lucas Oil Late Model Series. That's got to be a great chemistry right there.
Well, I think it is, and I think it's very helpful probably, you know, from an administrative and sanctioning standpoint of having that relationship with the folks at Lucas. Obviously, when you have a co-sanctioned race, the staff show up, they work together, they get things done. You know, having the resources for our series director, Ernie Lepwich, to talk with the national guys, you know, those guys are on the phone. You always want to be on the same page. You know, we've seen a lot of that in dirt late model racing, I guess, since PRI, when everybody kind of made the agreement on a few things to get on the same page. And it's always been nice for the MLRA series to have that relationship. And, you know, it's a deal where, if a show rains out, there's times when they'll feed us a few cars because guys will come support it. And there's other times when, if there's a national show, our guys are going to go support that as well, even if it's a non-co-sanctioned race.
I want to get off a little bit off topic here. It seems like to me that the world of outlaw late models have ratcheted their game up a little bit because they feel the threat of the Lucas Oil Late Model Series. Would you agree with that?
I mean, you've seen a lot of guys jumping on that side, a lot of rookies this year, I know, on that World of Outlaws side. But you've also got that on the Lucas Dirt side as well, I think. But, yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. And I think the biggest thing, honestly, Scott, is probably the fact that this is turning into a money-dominated sport. You've seen what the purses are doing. I mean, obviously, the amount that these drivers are spending, you've got to start paying a little bit more. But everybody's also got to keep in mind that the racetracks and the series, their expenses are also going up. You know, so it makes it, it's a very difficult game right now to be able to go out there and pay these guys what they deserve and still, you know, keep your business, keep your series in a profitable point.
Yeah, well, it's crazy. We're speaking to Billy Rock. He's the voice of the Lucas Oil MLRA Late Models. They're going to be racing at 81 Speedway this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. Friday night pays $5,000 to win, $7,000 on Saturday night. The Heartland Hustle, I can't wait to watch that on TV. I'm so excited about watching it.
Yeah, we're excited to get down there, Scott. You know, we do have a practice session tonight for the drivers heading in, and I think you'll see probably over 3/4 of the field, I would imagine, will be down there for practice tonight, especially right out of the gate first night, first time at the track. And I think one of the things that I'm looking forward to seeing is, you know, there's not a lot of late model racing there. It's more of a local standpoint, but what guys have experienced down at 81, or a lot of your USMTS modified guys, you know, your Cade Dillards, your Ryan Gustins. And it's to my understanding, obviously, there is a World of Outlaws race down there here in a month or so, I believe. And a lot of these guys, that's why they're off this weekend. They want to come down. They want an opportunity to run with MLRA for some good money. And it's also giving them a chance to get a few laps in before that big race as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Billy, we really enjoy your work, man. You're really good at what you do. You do a fantastic job. You can tell you're really studious. We were just talking to Chase Rodman here just a few minutes ago. He's very studious, like yourself. You're always a pleasure to listen to. I can't wait to see you when you come out to Lakeside Speedway and out to I-70 Speedway. We'll say hey to you. We'd like to have you on in the future to talk about MLRA, if we could do that with you.
Sure, be glad to. Like I say, I'm all about promoting the sport and promoting our drivers that follow us and support us, because, like I say, they need all the support they can get, you know, paying patronage to their sponsors and keep them and help them out. And I guess that's one of my things. I don't look at a sponsor and say, hey, thanks for giving us X number of dollars.
Right.
We like to go out and earn that and help people say, you know, thanks. We want to make sure somebody gets their value for it. So gladly come on with you guys and help promote things anytime.
Billy, thanks so much for taking the time for us here on Mostly Motorsports. We appreciate it. We'll be talking to you down the road.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Have a good day.
All right. You too, Billy. All right. So practice tonight at 81 Speedway. Going to have a good group of cars there. I wonder if there's – are they streaming that live this weekend?
They should be. It might be on MAV TV.
MAV probably does their races, don't they?
It might be. Let me do a little bit of research here.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have you look that up. Again, we want to thank Chase Rodman and Billy Rock for coming on the show today. Good show. You know, unfortunately, the weather is going to be cold up at US 36. It's probably going to be a little chilly out at 81 Speedway as well. So take all your warm gear, your gloves. You know, I wear a little skull cap, keep my bald head warm. You got to do that, you know. So you got to stay warm. Don't go there and not be prepared, because you don't want to leave early and not see the feature after you paid a good portion of money to watch these races. Go there prepared. Take your gloves. Take your warmest jacket. And take something to keep your head warm. And just enjoy the show, right? The worst thing that we could do as fans is leave early. You don't want to do that. It's the worst thing that you could do. Spend all that money and then take out before the races are over.
Well, I got a story for you. So I got a... I'm not going to say his name, but I know an individual that is not a sprint car fan that went to Lakeside last year to watch the sprint car race in October with the World of Outlaws, watched all the prelim events, the qualifying heat races, the dash, the consi, and left after the first three laps of the feature.
Mm-mm.
I don't get it.
Why would anybody leave when the feature starts?
I don't know.
I mean, was it cold out?
No, it was October. We were out there in a hoodie and T-shirt. I mean, he's not a sprint car fan.
Is he an older dude?
No, he's in his 30s.
Oh, so it wasn't because he was old and cold.
No. He's just not a sprint car fan. And I'm like, well, you just paid all the money to go out there and watch an event, and you just leave.
I don't get it.
I don't know.
I don't understand it. John just checked in. He said he's listening from upstate New York. We want to thank you, John, for tuning into the show. We know that you're a regular as well. So thank you to everybody that continues to download our podcast. We're getting a good amount of downloads. You know, it's a new show, and we're growing. And we're going to always have good guests on here. We're always going to try to do that. And we're going to have strong opinions about motorsports. That's the one thing you're going to always find out on this show. We're never going to just stroke people because... you know, we have a relationship with them. We're always going to have strong opinions. I know that Austin's going to be that way. I'm going to be that way. So, listen, if you want to know what's going on and you want to know what people's opinions are about what's going on, all you got to do is tune into Mostly Motorsports. We're here every day at 12 noon Central Time. We hope that you'll join us again tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Again, we want to thank Chase Rodman and Billy Rock for joining us on today's show. I want to thank Austin O'Neill and my partner Kirk Elliott for helping out here today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products.
one of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding mucus fuel treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system, pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Mucus Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.